From the KTOO Newsroom, I'm Pablo Arauz Peña with your state and local news update. The Alaska State Troopers are suspending the search for two Haines residents who went missing after a massive landslide destroyed their home on Beach Road in Haines. Local business leader David Simmons and his tenant, Janae Larson, a kindergarten teacher in town, have been missing since Wednesday's landslide on Beach Road. Alaska State Trooper Nick Zito is the incident commander for the search. He said the weather has been a huge impediment. They have been able to fly over the slide of the debris and of the debris pile and comb the beaches, but the slide has been too unstable to search on foot. The state troopers who were in Haines as ground searchers left by boat today. One sergeant with the troopers will stay in town and help with disaster relief. And more wet weather is in the cards across southeast Alaska this week as the region struggles with record rainfall that brought destructive landslides and some flooding. The National Weather Service said on Monday that the warm air is trailing off, leading to cooler temperatures later this week. Juneau-based meteorologist Jonathan Suk says the next weather system isn't likely to bring the kinds of heavy rainfall and high winds that brought down power lines and strained dams in the region.
Right now, we're not seeing anything in the forecast that would suggest that we're going to have anything nearly as strong as what we were seeing last week.
But he says the computer models used by forecasters are not in alignment with how the next week will play out. He says there are as many as 100 different models used to predict the weather.
And when we see a large spread between what the models are saying could happen, that decreases our confidence that any one particular model has it right.
Suk says it's important that people continue to watch for weather updates and prepare accordingly.
Especially as we go into these wet, stormy months, and I know that it's been going on for a while here, especially with what summer was. But, you know, the best thing people can do is stay informed and current with the weather.
Temperatures are forecast to drop below freezing midweek. That means there could be snow mixing with rain, leading to hazardous driving conditions. And beginning Tuesday, qualified Juneau residents who have been financially hurt by the pandemic can apply for $1,000 or more in new grants. Adult residents earning $59,000 a year are eligible. Payments begin at $1,000 and scale up to $2,000 based on income. Eligible residents can also get an extra $300 per dependent child. The Juneau Assembly committed $2 million of its share of Federal CARES Act relief money to the program. The program will run on a first-come, first-served basis until the money runs out or time runs out. The city's CARES Act money expires at the end of the year, so there's a time crunch to process applications, which are due December 18th, and cut checks. Catholic Community Service is running the program. Executive Director Aaron Walker-Tolis says as long as the pandemic-related financial impact occurred between March and the end of 2020, there shouldn't be a problem cutting checks in January.
Please make sure that you note how you were financially impacted by COVID-19. That means reduced hours at work, furloughed or laid off from work, or increased expenses such as childcare. Write them down so that we know that you have expenses you need help with so we can cut a check.
Electronic applications will be available at the Catholic Community Service website. Hard copies will be available at City Hall and City Libraries. The application period for a similar but separate housing and utility relief program closes after Saturday, December 12th. That one is worth up to $3,000 per qualified household. And back to Haines, Lynn Edgar's house filled with at least 3 feet of water on Tuesday in the record rain that fell. Along with dozens of other displaced residents of town, she's been sleeping at a hotel all week. But thanks to an outpouring of support, her house was ready to sleep in again by Saturday night. KHNS's Claire Strempel has her story.
Lynn Edgar strides out of her open garage, hefting garbage bags full of debris. Early Saturday morning, friends gathered at her flooded home. There are close to a dozen trucks parked out front.
I've got, I don't even know how many people here right now, helping to basically dry my house out, move the things that are salvageable upstairs where the water didn't get.
Edgar bought the home 3 years ago and typically has a few renters. At the time of the flood, she was the only one living in the house. Although, after most of her chickens drowned in the storm, she let the sole survivor live upstairs for safekeeping.
We're ripping out the carpet that's all soggy and opening up the drywall to let it out, to let out the moisture. We've got dehumidifiers and things going. Some of the electricity is starting to dry out and come back on.
Jason Eason is a former tenant of Edgar's. He's leading the cleanup effort.
You know, I heard that it was flooding and I came here on Tuesday and there was 3 feet of water in the driveway and still ice underneath. So just kind of wading through that ice water. And, you know, I've probably been whitewater paddling in the Arctic for 11 or 12 years. And so have a familiarity with that cold water. And I don't think I've ever quite been that cold just getting here and being soaked when I got here.
He turned off the power and salvaged some of his tools that were still in the garage. Now he's using them to fix the damage and leading the team of volunteers that's helping with cleanup.
Several days worth of work was done in a matter of minutes, it seems like. So Haynes makes it happen.
Probably closer to 3 hours, but still really fast. Eason runs a lap through the house, tool belts long low on his hips. In the front room, a volunteer pulls up baseboards. Numbers are penciled on the walls so they know where to replace them. Someone fires up a leaf blower to push water out of a back room.
You always hear, you know, like people say that they can't believe the support, but then you just can't believe the support. It's an amazing town.
Joe Altman Moore is a friend of Lynn's. He read about her misfortune on social media and showed up Saturday morning to help.
And it was actually her Facebook posting was one of the first times I realized, like, you know, this was not just a normal rainstorm. And I realized that people were having pretty severe damage. And I guess this was the night before the big slide. And then, of course, you know, then it became a disaster.
Wednesday's mudslide came within 100 yards of his beach road cabin. He's wearing the rain gear he evacuated in on Wednesday. Orange bibs and a camouflage rain jacket. The group has worked quickly in the rain, and the house is ready to live in. Which is good, because a winter storm is moving in. Reporting in Haines, I'm Claire Strumpel.
In Anchorage, Acting Mayor Austin Quinn Davidson is isolating at home after testing positive for COVID-19. Her office made the announcement Sunday. Quinn Davidson felt cold-like symptoms beginning November 29th and isolated at home until taking a test the next day. That test and another she took came back negative, but a third test came back Saturday as positive. She is experiencing mild symptoms. The acting mayor says she'll continue to isolate at home as directed by her healthcare provider. Her wife, Dr. Stephanie Quinn Davidson, has tested negative and is not experiencing symptoms. And the biggest prison in Alaska is continuing to experience a coronavirus outbreak that has left almost half of its population infected. Alaska Department of Corrections spokeswoman Sarah Gallagher said that as of Thursday, 581 inmates at Goose Creek Correctional Center had active cases of the virus. That figure is 46% of the prison's total population of 1,253 inmates, which includes both convicted prisoners and those awaiting trial. Corrections officials said 193 people at the prison have recovered from the virus, which means over half of the inmates have contracted COVID-19 since the outbreak was first identified on November 2nd. Two inmates at the prison have died. As a year marked by coronavirus nears an end, millions of Americans are depending on food banks to stave off hunger. Feeding America, the nation's largest anti-hunger organization, has distributed 4.2 billion meals in an 8-month period. That's an unprecedented pace by the group's history. An AP analysis of most of the group's food banks found a nearly 57% increase in food distribution compared with last year. Experts say Black and Latino households with children and women are among those at greatest risk of hunger. And Alaska's longest-serving Republican representative was one of the only five members of his party who voted for a U.S. bill to decriminalize marijuana nationwide. Don Young voted to decriminalize marijuana in the latest House vote. This is KTOO News.